It is now time for a newcomer ask. You may have seen this box in the back of the room on it. It says a newcomer ask. What we like to do is we provide pencils and paper, and we like to have you write down questions that you have about the program, about Alcoholics Anonymous. Put those questions in this box. We pick a question each week and attempt to answer it using AA-approved literature and our own panel of experts. This week's question is, how do you get over being scared when leaving the residential program? Besides calling sober numbers and going to meetings, how do you get over the scared feelings? I have some experience with that. I went to a residential program in December 3rd of 2010. It was up in the hills near Angels Camp, California, a very isolated place. There was no television, no radio, no cell phones, no computers, no books, no newspapers. You were completely isolated and saturated in recovery 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They refer to it as the cocoon. And they kept referring to everything else as the real world. And people talked about being scared when they got back to the real world, about doing things in the program like, am I going to be able to get a sponsor? Am I going to be able to get through these steps? Can I do 90 meetings in 90 days? And they talked about other things that they were afraid of, like maybe, do I have a place to live when I get out of there? Do I have a job when I get out of there? Or a car? And when I get out of here and I go back to the place I was living at, assuming I do have one, I'm going back to friends and family who may still be drinking and using, and how am I going to handle that? So it's natural to have a lot of fear when you're in a residential program about what it's going to be like when you get back to the real world. What they kept telling us was, if you're scared about these things, do it scared. If you have fear, overcome that fear, jump into it, and just keep doing what's suggested. And that's what I did. I was afraid I couldn't get a sponsor. I asked, I got one. I was afraid about doing the steps, particularly 4 and 5. I did them scared and got through them. That's how I approached everything. Fear is natural. Live with it. Work through it. And you will get the promises that our book says on page 83 and 84. And that's all I got. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for our featured speaker of the evening. This is brought to you by the Valley Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, the undefeated, undisputed king of speaker meetings. This event is brought to you for your sobriety pleasure. And now, let's get ready for recovery. Our speaker has been a sober member since 1-28 of 1982. That's 30 years, people. She has been a member of groups in San Jose, Stockton, and Visalia, and been in service as a secretary, treasurer, GSR, H&I, and sponsor. Her AA motto is, I'm either part of the problem or part of the solution. And now, with all the earnestness at your command, will you welcome, please, from Visalia, California, Edie M.
Let me assure you, that's probably the best I've ever been introduced. And I hope I don't let you down at that introduction. As they mentioned, I have been sober just over 30 years. I had the honor of going to San Jose this last weekend. One of my babies just had 25 years. And talk about an emotional, spiritual high when I got back. I mean, I can't describe it. I just cannot describe it. Many years ago, I went to my first women's conference, and I came back much the same way. And I have found out over the period of 30 years that whenever I get myself into a spot, which I do, even today, if I go back to the basics, the things I was taught when I first got here, I will find that high, that spiritual calm that I was looking for when I got here. I discovered alcohol at the tender age of 11. Back in the Midwest where I grew up, you could drink wine at weddings, and it didn't matter what your age was. And I found out it made me an adult, I thought. And every chance I got after that, if I could sneak it, borrow it, it didn't matter. I'd have a little sip here and there. That led me to a very early marriage at the tender age of 15. Led me to parenthood at the age of 17. Led me to divorce at the age of 20. And from 20 until I hit this program, I had what I thought was a good time, what I could remember of it. I didn't know, but as early as 18 and 19, I was blacking out in my drinking. I went to take care of my daughter when she was a baby at a wedding, and I woke up 2 hours later with my head in a suitcase. Go figure. But I didn't think I had a problem. I didn't even know about alcoholism. It just wasn't talked about. And my husband was military, and we were stationed in Texas when we were first married. And the state of Texas, if your spouse is 21, you can drink legally as long as they're with you. Now, I thought that was pretty nifty, because here I was at the tender age of 16 sitting in bars drinking. The man I worked for in Texas was also one of us, although he didn't attend meetings, he was still drinking. So he would take us out and show us the nightlife of San Antone. And I really enjoyed it. Again, what I can remember of it. And eventually that marriage fell apart. And I came back to Arizona and found out that you could drink there. By this time, I'm almost 21 myself, so things were getting a lot easier. I was working night shift, and I'd get off work, and I'd go party until 2 or 3 in the morning. My mom had my daughter, so I could party until, I guess she got tired of it, and one night I got home, or I should say one morning, and the police were there. She called the cops on me because she was worried about me, she said. Well, she was tired of my coming in at 2 or 3 in the morning, inebriated. And that became a pattern for a long, long, long time. I went to work in electronics while I lived in Arizona, and I managed to work my way up from a high school dropout line operator to a manager. And then I really thought, well, if you had my problems and you were a single parent and you were a manager, you'd drink too. I always had a reason. And I drank to celebrate. I drank when I felt bad. It didn't matter. If the sun came up, I drank. And if it didn't, I drank. And I didn't think I had a problem because I kept going to work. Always made it to work. Then electronics fell apart in 76. And I came to California. And I pretty well knew the routine in Arizona. I knew the back roads, how to get around. And if you stop any vehicle in the state of Arizona, Phoenix, you're going to find an open container. At least you used to. I don't know what it is now. But it was just a given. And when I came to California, not so much. They're a little bit stricter here. And I was living in San Jose, working in electronics, again on swing shift. And I would get off work, and a bunch of us would go and party at somebody's house. Well, I scared myself a couple times. I tried to make a curve and just about didn't, almost went airborne. And I'd gone to a party one night after work. And this is where it began to get really ugly for me. And I hit a curb, a divider on a freeway or expressway coming home and blew a tire out. And for any mothers in this room, you'll understand this. Two young men stopped to help me. And I guess they realized I really wasn't in much shape to drive. So they fixed my tire, and they offered to drive my car, and they took me home. Well, of course, being a social human being, I invited them in for a drink. I didn't know they were in my daughter's high school class. Yeah, you got it. Oh, was right. And she was old enough by this time to realize that there might be a problem with my drinking. And she made me promise that I wouldn't drink and drive. Sure, no problem. So I just quit driving. I wasn't going to quit drinking. So what I would do is if I figured I was in no position to be driving, I would either call somebody that I knew to come get me, or call her and say, I'm staying wherever I'm at. So don't worry. And that went on for a little while until I hit a real tough spot. I was engaged, I thought, to be married. And this was now my third time through. I had a short one, it lasted, I think, 11 months. And he drank like I did, and that didn't work out too well in the marriage. So when he was in jail for DWI, or DUI, whichever you call it, I divorced him. Worked for me. And so here I am, engaged again, San Jose. Things are going wonderful. Except we broke up. And I mixed some pills and some alcohol. And in the state of California, if you mix those two together, they call it attempted suicide. And you have to see a psychiatrist. That is a given. And I saw this one guy, and he said, well, you need to take long weekends and de-stress and yada, yada, yada. Well, he never worked in electronics, at least not the way I did. Long weekends were not an option. And somehow I wound up with this woman. And God knew what he was doing because her husband was one of us. And he'd gone through a 28-day program in a hospital in outside of San Jose. And she said, well, Edith, you may be able to quit drinking, but you may not be able to stay stopped. And I thought, well, she might have a point, because I had stopped lots of times, maybe for a week, maybe even for a month. But I could never stay stopped. So I wound up in this place called Montevilla. And the first thing that bent me was they had rules that I had to follow. And if you're an alcoholic of my type, I don't like you telling me what to do. Period. I will do anything in my power not to do what I am told to do. Ask me and I will break my neck for you. But I have trouble today taking orders still. And that's been a long time ago. Anyhow, we had to get up in the morning and we had to do this. We had to make our beds. We had to go here. We had to go there. But it was the first time I remember laughing without a drink in my hand. It was the first time I had to share a room with four women. Oh, God in heaven. One lady was forever washing out her underwear and leaving it draped all over the damn bathroom. Now, pardon me, but that really irritated me. But I couldn't say anything. I could not ask for another roommate. I couldn't complain. That was not part of the game. I was supposed to learn tolerance. And one of the things we had to do was... the group decided what you should have to put up with or what you should have to suffer through or whatever. And mine was being waited on for 24 hours. I could do nothing for myself because I was always fixing everything. So for 24 hours, they brought me my breakfast. A couple guys offered to scrub my back. They did my laundry if I wanted it done. I mean, it drove me out of my mind. It absolutely drove me crazy to sit there and be waited on hand and foot for 24 hours. And I would like to say that I stayed sober when I got out of that place, but I chose to do it my way. We talked earlier about having fear coming out of a recovery house or something. Well, I didn't have any fear. I didn't have sense to have any fear. Because I went right back to what I was doing, except now I'm hiding my drinking for the very first time. Because I knew there was another way. But they didn't teach me how to deal with stress. They didn't teach me what I thought I needed to know. And I didn't understand that Alcoholics Anonymous teaches you to live life on life's terms without taking any kind of a chemical. Well, I'm trying to go my way through it, and didn't work. Car broke down. I got rattled. I drank. I would get close to 90 days, and something would happen. Somebody at work would get in my face, and I would drink. I thought, I will never get past 90 days. And that included the 28 I had when I was in the hospital. And I did do the meetings they suggested, and one of them was a women's meeting. Because I knew what to do with men. I wasn't too sure what to do with other women. And so I went to this women's meeting. Excuse me. And my last drink, talk about trying other methods, was bourbon and iced tea. That's what I had, and that's what I drank. But that was the night that I surrendered. And I don't like to talk a lot about my drunkalog because sobriety is so much more interesting. It is so much more fun. I thought I was having a good time. I thought I was the life of the party. And you know, I found out that I'm not really social sometimes when I'm sober. But I don't have to be today. I don't have to die of the embarrassment of doing stupid things that I did when I was drinking. My God, if I wasn't perfect or drunk, I was embarrassed whenever I did something wrong or made a mistake. Today, so what? I get lost a lot, especially in these strange towns. And it doesn't matter today. I carry a map, isn't that a concept? Before, I used to just figure it out. And my daughter and I are good friends today. She's been in Ohio for 6 years. And she's coming to Visalia to live, and I'm so excited. She is my only child, who gave me an only grandson, who's 25, who gave me a great-granddaughter, who is 4. So there's not only in this group here, but I saw my grandson last weekend and his new lady. She's a wonderful young lady. Those are all things I would never have today without this program. And in the beginning, all I had to do was surrender. And for me, that was just not an acceptable thing to do. I fought my way from the time I was born, I think, until I accepted the 12 steps of this program. I fought everything and everybody. I was going to be smarter, faster, harder, better than anybody I ever came across. And all that got me was drunk and very, very miserable. And today, I didn't know what this program could give me. I fell into it. I can remember being in a candlelight meeting in a little town called Campbell. For those of you who don't know, San Jose, Sunnyvale, Milpitas, for the sake of argument, are all one big town. And I was in a meeting in Campbell, and it was a candlelight meeting, and thank God the lights were down. And I was asked to share, and I stood up. And all of this ugliness came out of me, your inventory. But it was a release I have never known in my entire life until I got in these rooms. I found out that I could share anything in these rooms and not be judged. That was a miracle, because I was always judging me and you and everybody else around me. So I learned to open up. I learned to trust. I also learned to cry. I didn't cry much before I got here. I was too tough for that. Ask me, I tell you. I have cried a whole bunch since I've been here. I didn't know what loss was. I didn't know what love was until I got here. I'd been married twice, and God knows how many times I'd had relationships, but I had no idea what love was between a man and a woman until I got to these rooms. And I found out what unconditional love was in these rooms. I did go to a Codependence Anonymous for 5 years, because if I wasn't, he was going to die. That's all there was to it. And I learned to mind my own business. What a concept. What you did or didn't do really wasn't my concern unless it affected me directly. And believe me, that was one of the hardest things for someone with my nature to accept. I don't care how you keep your house, it's not my business unless I get so mean when I visit. And my daughter, when I bought my house in Milpitas, I'd been sober, I think, about 5 years. And I'd had surgery, and I wasn't getting around too well, so I wasn't keeping things up. And I had, remember distinctly, I had poured some cranberry juice in a goblet because I didn't have any clean glasses. And my daughter, who is now about 25, came in the house to say hi, and she picked up that glass and she smelled it. I have no idea where in my sobriety she finally believes that I'm going to stay sober, at least for another 24 hours. It took a long, long time. Mainly because she was 21 when I got sober. So she had a long, long memory of things that weren't too pleasant with her mother. And like I said, proof is that she's going to be moving here in August. And I can't tell you how excited I am. It's been a long time, both of us growing up. We have not had a good argument since I got sober. She grew up a lot, I'll tell you. So, this program has given me blessings that I don't worry about finances. I make less money today than I have in my entire life. And I worry less about it. I show up. We talked about things that we go by in this program, and one of them is I try to do what's in front of me. I'm real big on planning out 15, 20 years, whatever. I used to make long lists before I left the house of things I had to get done that day. That cost me 2 speeding tickets. So I don't do that anymore either. But some days I say, okay, I've got this to do, that to do, blah, blah, blah. What do you want to do? I sit down and read a book. I take care of me today, because I did learn, thanks to AA, that if I don't take care of me, I've got nothing to give away. When they talk about halting this program, they're not joking. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And that tired, angry, and lonely, that's what I used to think about drinking when I was first 5 years of my sobriety. If I got my heart hurt, or you really made me mad, I could see bars just jumping out at me. And I've heard people say that, well, if I had a drink and went to a meeting, nobody would really know. Trust me, they know. I tried it. There's something about our demeanor that changes when we do things like that, even if they can't smell it. When I started out, I got kind of sidetracked in the beginning. I was going to meetings at the other side of town, and they were talking about nannies and blah, 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 and I'm worried about paying the grocery bill. What the hell is a nanny? So I started going to the Alano Club in San Jose. And that is good, basic, down-to-earth AA. And I have found for me that it's the best thing in the world. On my 30th birthday, I decided to start rereading the Big Book from the first page all the way through. And I think that for me it's the proper thing to do, because they put new words in there somehow. I mean, over the years, I've begun to add my own twist to certain things. And it doesn't work that way. This program has worked for a good many years. I think I just finished reading when Santa Clara County started in 1941. So AA's been around for a few years. And if we don't change it, it'll probably stay around for a few more. Where else can you find a non-structured, non-business environment that lives on contributions, has most secretaries for 6 months, and has no leaders? It's just not possible. I tried GSR when I got here, and I came from a business background where you went to meetings and you solved things and you went home. Yeah. GSR was not for me. I talked to my sponsor. I begged her, please let me out of this. I'm going to hurt somebody or myself. There are 1,000 things to do in this program. Back in the old day, we used to smoke. So I cleaned ashtrays. I learned how to make coffee in this program. I made the world's worst coffee before I hit AA. And now I can make a passable pot. But I learned what friendship was. One time in my life, there was a tragedy in my home. A young lady committed suicide. And the first thing I did was turn to the people in this program. It wasn't 5 minutes. My sponsor was there. Two guys came to help take care of things. I mean, and of course the police, but AA was there for me. It has been there for every occasion, good, bad, or indifferent in my life. My daughter got married in the church where I used to go to the meetings in Campbell. Well, she got married right around the time that there was a meeting. So when she came out of the church, the AA group came out to celebrate with her. And I thought that was kind of nifty myself. I mean, how many people have that extra added attraction at their wedding? But without this program, there wouldn't have been a wedding. I would not have been able to face layoffs, three moves, and God forbid, I hate to move. I hate to move. I had this wonderful relationship, and like all things, it comes to a point, either you go forward or you go backwards, or you call it quits. Well, we called it quits. I didn't die. How about that? And I didn't drink. I went to women's, there's an International Women's Conference every February, and for 15 years I went to that. I found out if you want to stay sober in this program, get involved somehow. I don't care if it's making coffee, cleaning up, setting up chairs, whatever you can do. Go to local group functions, because if you, today most of my friends are in the program. The only ones that aren't are related to me. So, and some of them should be here, but not to take their inventory, of course. But you can be an alcoholic, I think, without drinking. It's an attitude, as far as I'm concerned, because you attack all things the same way, with no reserve, with absolutely full gusto. If they would just do it my way, the world would be perfect. And we've got a few of those in the family. Don't touch a drop. But hoi. And that's okay. I have learned that, like anything else, I can get along with them for 3 or 4 days at a time, and that's about it. I don't have to. My family was uncomfortable when I got sober, because I was one of the biggest ones to join with the boys and go out in the barn and drink. Well, they still drank and I didn't. And I can remember my brother-in-law saying, well, by God, I can still drink. Well, God love him. He died of cancer. And he had 2.5 years in this program when he died. And to hear a man that I used to drink with talk about this program with such awe, it was wonderful. He died at peace. And I don't think that would have happened had he not found AA. I can only tell you that if you're not sure yet, keep coming back. Something will click. And I think there's a gentleman in this room always talks about being rocketed in the fourth dimension. I can guarantee you that will happen. Thank you. When you go to bed at night, the worst thing I have to worry about is what I'm going to get put on my body the next morning. I try to take care of people that I offend, which I do, in sobriety, the day or the time I do it. I apologize. I try to keep the wreckage of today to a minimum. If I can't face you, then I need to do some house cleaning. I've done something bothering me that I have done. And in business, it gets a little bit awkward when you try to keep your side of the street clean. I can remember apologizing to a man I've been in a meeting with, and we had a few nasty words. And I went to him afterwards, and I didn't apologize for what I said. I apologized for the way I said it. I was very disrespectful. And he was just flabbergasted, because nobody had ever come to him after a meeting and apologized for anything. I didn't do it for him. I did it for me. In the same way that I try to keep my nose on other people's business. I work for in-home services, and I work with some ladies who are not physically able to take care of themselves. And I wish that it was all wonderful and beds of roses, but it's not. And there's days I would like to throttle them, believe me. But God love it, I got to remember, if I was stuck in a house and not able to do what I've done my whole life, and they're 70, 80 years of age, I might be a little bit testy too. And I've got the freedom to come and go as I want to. One lady can't even get around without a wheelchair. So like I said, I'm either part of the problem or I'm part of the solution. If the world gets ugly outside, if I chime in, well, guess what? I'm part of the problem. And if I try to defuse it or I try to step back, then I might be part of the solution. I don't get too excited in stores anymore and I have to wait in line. What are you going to do? stopped at a fast food place. It took me 15 minutes to get through the line. Now, that's not fast food. But the little girl at the window, she was so rattled by the time I got there. Like, I was worried, more worried about her than I was about anything else, because she was, you know. So, what can I tell you? I've learned to laugh at myself in this program, and I would never do that when I got here. Life was much too serious to laugh about anything. I used to dream about white picket fences and the 1.5 children and the husband and yada, yada, yada. I've got the feeling. Don't have the white picket fence and I don't have the husband. And thank God I don't have the 1.5 children. But I have serenity today. I didn't know what it was when I got here. I'd have cheated myself so bad if I'd have settled for just sobriety. For me, sobriety is not the absence of a chemical or a drug or alcohol. It is the state of mind. When I can wake up and I stop and I smell the roses and I notice the sun or the rain or whatever, I mean, there's a whole world out there that I was running so hard and so fast that I lost it. I lost every bit of it. I spent 38 years going as fast as I could go, and I don't have to do that today. I get to stop and smell the roses. I get to be grateful that I get to get up one more morning, that the house payment's made, I've got groceries in the house, and I don't smoke at the price of cigarettes today. Gee Louise, that is ridiculous. But I don't know how to describe what this program can give you if you're new in it. For those of you who've been around for a while, I'm sure that you know what I'm talking about. And it's the it. My sister asked me once to describe it. I said, I don't know, but when you know when someone's got it, you can see it in their eyes. It's a peace. It's a peace. That's all there is to it. So, as I said, 30 years, I do today what I did 30 years ago. I try to do the steps. I have tried to find a sponsor. I'm not having much success since I've been here. Either too busy or something. So, but I will keep asking. I may have to get a man sponsor this time. I don't know. I think they're pretty safe this go around. So 30 years ago, not so much. But there is a reason why they say we should stick with our own kind. And but again, sobriety to me is what it's all about. The beginning was like everybody else's. I drank from 11 to 38. I went through two husbands. Basically three or four jobs. And I was miserable. I was sick at heart. And I spent a lot of time curled up in a ball on the living room floor crying. And I don't know to this day what I was crying about. But I did. And today I can cry with happiness. I sat in San Jose this weekend and watched 75 people attend the 25-year anniversary. And I cried to see the love and the sharing. This lady worked in a sober living home, and there were five of the previous tenants of that home there. Now, that's a heck of a success story as far as I'm concerned. They have five young women, and they were young, stand up and say, I'm sober today because of this lady. And they're still keeping house. One girl said she still cleans her house on Saturday the way she was taught, and she still sits down every night and goes over her days against the book. So that can't be all bad. And I have the opportunity today to share in those kinds of moments, and it gives me chill bumps even now. And I'm going to run out of time. There's not much more for me to say, so I'm going to throw it open for questions. They told me that was an option. So this is one female who cannot talk forever. Any questions? Yes, sir.
How's your daughter?
My daughter is taking her nurse's training. She is 52 years of age. She waited. She wanted to be a nurse when she was 18. And then marriage and children and yada yada got in the way. And she went back 6 years ago to start over again. So she graduates in May. I'm going back to Ohio. And I am thrilled. She is not an alcoholic. She has a heck of a capacity. And I do worry. It's just that simple. But there's not a darn thing I can do about it. She knows the program works. She knows it's here. But she doesn't drink just because. She doesn't drink when she's sad or upset. And for me, that was one of the big triggers, you know. My world did not go right, I drank, and I don't see that in her. But you better believe I worry about it. It's rampant in my family. I've got grandnieces and nephews that are definitely candidates for this program. So.
Wait, Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
What I'm wondering is, how does somebody with 30 years of sobriety get a sponsor? Because I always thought, like, when you're looking for a sponsor, you're looking for somebody with more time.
Tell me about it. I've been trying for 3 years, and I haven't had much success. So, but... Okay. What I have found out, since I haven't been able to find a sponsor, is I depend upon old friends. A lady with 25 years. People hear it that in Visalia that I hear speak, including this one over here. And that's... You, if you sponsor somebody, you wind up being friends anyhow if you stay at it long enough. One of the things I like to tell people that I sponsor is that someday you're going to outgrow me. If we've done this right, you should reach the point that there's something else that you need that maybe I can't give you. But that doesn't change the fact that we can be friends. I've got gals I sponsored in Stockton. One called me tonight before I got here. Another one was supposed to be in last weekend to visit with me. And I did suggest they get sponsors. They were both fairly new to the program, that they get sponsors there in Stockton. But sure, we're still friends, and that's how I stay sober. And the little gal of 25 years, I mean, she's got, excuse me, there's 3 or 4 people that I know back there that I'm in touch with. So there's all kinds of ways to stay sober if I want to. And that's listening for what people say, because I still go to meetings and hear things either I've forgotten or I didn't know. God forbid. That's why I'm rereading the big book. I said they changed the word somewhere in 30 years. And I'm on the 4th edition. One of the gals I sponsored who lives in Apple Valley now got me the 4th edition for one of my birthdays. So. And they just added a couple more stories, changed it around. Oh, I have one other thing I want to share. I resent some of these ship meetings. When I left San Jose, I was used to their way of doing things. Now, I've gone to meetings in about 7 different states, but never ship meetings. So I get to Stockton, and they don't do meetings the way I was used to. They don't let you get up and get coffee during the meeting. They just have somebody come and pour coffee. How dare they? And on the ship night, you sat up on the front of the group, and you had to bring your own person to present your chip. I said, I beg your pardon? I had to provide my own person with my own chip to get it. And I went to one meeting when I was first there, and I said, I wanted, I don't know what year it was. And he says, well, this is summertime. I said, well, my birthday's in January. Well, this is August. Well, I knew that. You know, so he says, well, I guess you can get a chip. And I thought, well, gee whiz. Then he told me the caveat. So I had to find somebody to give it to me. One year I dragged my poor grandson in to give me my chip. So, you know, so everybody does it different. Here I came here, and the first meeting I went to was an hour and a half. How dare they? I was used to hour meetings. So, tolerance I've learned, but not a whole lot, obviously. So, change the way chairs are set up in a meeting. My sponsor, my first sponsor in this program, had a deal. She sat on this corner of this long table every day. And if you were in her seat when she got there, she would ask you to move. So, if you the alcoholic of our type, yeah, you're a human being. But guess what? You know, things may bother you, but don't let it ever bother you enough not to go to a meeting. Any more questions? Yes, sir. Ah, that's a good question. I used to go to the one off of, where the big sign is, off of, it's not Saratoga Avenue, wrong town. Oh, come on. Noble House?
Okay.
Okay. I've been gone 3.5 years, and I find with age, it's getting worse. I don't retain like I used to. I was back in San Jose, and the gal said, well, you remember how to get there? And I said, I've been gone almost 8 years. No, I don't remember how to get there. So what can I tell you? But again, I still have good friends back there. I still would go to the same meeting again if I was back in that area. I loved it. I have found that sobriety is sobriety no matter where you go. It's pretty much done the same way no matter where you go. When I get past all the differences, those 12 steps haven't changed a bit. And they are suggested. They're suggested if you want a life that is at no comparison to your past. Do the 12 steps and stay in these meetings. I think we got time for one quick one, or do you done?
We can wrap it up if you want to.
Any other questions? And I thank you very much for having me.